This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Biggest story in baseball right now as we head into the final hour of VSiN Primetime on a Friday night. Jacob Mizorowski, 6'7", right-hander, 23-year-old for the Brewers. A perfect game, Will Hill. And we're in the top of the seventh inning. Brewers 3, Twins 0. 80 pitches for Mizorowski. Do you think he's going to finish off the perfecto?
I don't think he will get the chance to. Could you squeeze in 3 10 pitch innings and have him at 110 and give him a shot? I would love to see him have a chance to do it. It's just so bad for baseball to have a guy with a perfect game, the drama of that, and to pull him. It's just not the same if it's a team perfect game, even if they can't pull it off. So I hope they give him a shot, but I'm not so sure. But how about this start to this kid's career? 4 or 5 innings in his first start, and now he's through 6 innings. He still has not given up a hit. So, halfway through his second start, hitless, that's a pretty good start. And we were just watching him, here talking about him during the break. He's so big. You hear the term effectively wild, where, look, he hasn't walked anybody, but he's just wild enough where you can't get comfortable about him. He's throwing the ball 101, 102 miles an hour, nasty breaking stuff. He was billed to be a big-time prospect. He is certainly living up to it. So 9 outs away from a perfect game. Do you think they give him a chance to do it? Because I'm skeptical that they do, even though I want them to.
I would give him a chance to do it. Would be no question for me. I would let the kid go 125 pitches, whatever it takes. How many opportunities will you ever have to throw a perfect game? And it just kind of depends on the way he looks the next 2 innings, but I would probably let him go. Again, I grew up watching Nolan Ryan throw 200 pitches in a game or 150 pitches routinely, and baseball is just not like that anymore. Also, he's a young pitcher, so you might err on the side of caution, say we got to protect his arm, whatever. You watch the College World Series, and those college coaches, they will push those pitchers hard, right? And they'll let them go 120, 130 pitches in college baseball. But for some reason, they baby the pitchers in the majors, especially when they're young. And hopefully Mizorowski gets a chance to finish this off. I'd like to see him take it to the ninth inning. Stop me if you've heard this before, but Aaron Boone bungled his move in the bullpen, and the Yankees now trail. Orioles 5, Yankees 3, Baltimore minus 450. At one point, the Yankees were minus 325 in this game. Orioles now with a 2-run lead, minus 450 favorites, beat the Yankees in the Bronx. Yankees have dropped 6 of the last 7. Phillies open up an 8-2 lead over the Mets on the way to a win. It's in the 8th inning in Philadelphia. And the money line on this Brewers-Twins game, Milwaukee minus 1,600 with Mizorowski working on the perfect game. Should also mention that, Will, the highest total of the baseball season you saw on the board today was 12, briefly, between the D-backs and the Rockies. And we have a slow-pitch softball game breaking out at Coors Field tonight in the 5th inning. Rockies 7, D-backs 6. And the live total is now 19.5 at Coors Field. All right, the NFL betting guide at VSiN is going to be out here within a couple weeks. And pretty much every analyst, host, writer on staff is contributing futures picks to the NFL guide. And, well, last year I put 2 in there. I put the Chargers over 8.5 wins. They got to 11. And I put the Eagles to win the NFC East, and I bet that when they were plus 140, they end up closing as odds-on favorites to win the division, which they did easily. I'm really struggling on the futures a little bit more this year. I've got 3 or 4 I like. I don't really love, but I've got a few I like. I've got only 1 I bet at this point. I've got 1 bet in my pocket, and that was the Rams to win the Super Bowl. And I bet that, I believe, in March at 30-1 odds, and it was here at Circa. The best number I think you can find on the market right now might be 22-1. But again, I like the Rams a lot this year. I'm going to play some different futures on the Rams in addition to the Super Bowl bet. When you look at the NFC West, Will, what do you like in this division? Because you mentioned to me you also have a play. We have not talked about this, so I don't know if your play is on the Rams or a different team.
I like this Arizona team. I thought they really did a good job of addressing their defense. They went all defense in the draft, all guys, if you follow college football, that you've heard of that are impressive. Will Johnson, the corner from Michigan, Walter Nolan, Birch from Oregon, couple of Iowa State guys. They were 7th in the league in yards per play on offense. If they're going to be, top 10, top 15 defense, which I think they could be, they got swept. This might be a Gannon type defense. He's trying to mimic what he had in Philly. I could see them being high risers, but instead of taking the 4-1 plus 450-ish on them to win the division, when I do think it's a wide open division, even though San Francisco poised to bounce back, easy schedule. If you're going to tell me right now Arizona's going to win the division, do I want the 4-1 payout? Yeah, 4-1 payout's nice. But Gannon is going to be squarely in the mix for coach of the year at 20-1. I think that's the much better value. So I do have a bet on Gannon at 20-1 coach of the year. I think Arizona, the schedule is pretty conducive here if we pull that up to getting off to a hot start, improved defense. I don't love Kyler Murray. I don't know that he's a championship quarterback. You always have to worry. You know, he's small. He can get hurt. But I think it's a well-balanced team. I think Gannon, who, look, that team has played hard for him. They've been a covering machine. Even that first year when Murray was hurt, they were scrappy. They were in a lot of games. A lot of people thought maybe they could go winless. But if you look at the schedule, they start with the Saints, the Panthers, the 49ers is a tough game, but then the Seahawks at home, Darnold behind a new offensive line, a rookie quarterback with the Titans, whoever you're getting a quarterback with the Colts, and then you get the Packers in a bye. That's a manageable schedule. No reason they can't start, you know, 3-1, 4-1, something like that, and get off to a good start and be right in the mix here to win a division. So I'm high on the Cardinals. I think Gannon 20-1 coach of the year is an alternative way to play their division. If you want to take a unit, put half on the division, half on coach of the year, put mix in a little win total, I think you get bang for your buck there with coach of the year. But I like this Arizona team. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's interesting. I kind of like the Cardinals, too. I have not bought in on any futures here, but when you look at the schedules, I've analyzed all the schedules in the NFC West. The 49ers have such an easy schedule this season. You wonder why the win total is high as it is. I don't really like the 49ers much as a team. Look at the schedule. That's why the win total is up to 10.5. The Rams are definitely, in my mind, a better team than the 49ers, definitely for the second year in a row. In fact, I bet the Rams to win this division a year ago at about 4-1. It was plus 390. Rams did win the division. But now you're not getting as much on the price with the Rams, and they have a much more difficult schedule. If you compare the Rams schedule with the 49ers schedule, you can see why the Niners win total is one higher. I'm still going to play the Rams over 9.5. I love this team, up-and-coming team. When you turn back the clock, Will, I think a lot of people probably forgotten about this because the Eagles crushed the Commanders.
Absolutely.
And the Eagles crushed the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. The Rams almost upset the Eagles in Philadelphia in the playoffs. They had they had the ball inside the 15-yard line at the end of the game, and Matthew Stafford took a sack and then threw an incompletion, threw the ball out of bounds on fourth down. The Rams had the Eagles on the ropes, and I had a bunch of Eagles futures. I was sweating that out. This Rams team is on the rise. There's no doubt about it to me. Over 9.5, I got them to win the Super Bowl at 30-1, and I want to bet them to win the division, but the schedule for the 49ers is so much easier than what the Rams face. Have you had a chance? You talked about the Cardinals schedule. Did you break down all the schedules in the NFC West?
Yeah, and I completely agree with your takeaway, with your conclusion. I'll go one step further. It's not just that they were down, and I think it was either 8 or 6 against the Eagles in that drive you were alluding to. They were down 1, and remember, it started to snow. It probably didn't, you know, catch a break in terms of the weather. It favored Philly. Kyren Williams fumbled once and then twice, a guy who doesn't fumble very much. Mm-hmm. And they held him to field goals. They were able to hold Philly. So the defense did a good job. If he doesn't have those two kind of flukish fumbles in bad weather, it's very possible we're looking at a Rams-Washington NFC, and then who knows what happens from there. So they by far played Philly tougher than Washington and definitely tougher than Kansas City. So it's not, you know, they killed Minnesota, a good Minnesota team on that Monday night, beat Minnesota both times they played them. It's not impossible to look back and think the Rams might have been, you know, third, fourth best team in the league. So I think that was a good angle. I think that was a sharp bet. And if you're looking to make smarter bets this football season, start with VSiN Pro for a limited time. Grab our football special at the early bird rate of just $175. You get full access from now through the Super Bowl, including our NFL betting guide, the ultimate playbook with team breakdowns, power ratings, and season-long best bets. You also get a daily best bets email from our expert host and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, deep analytics and betting tools on VSiN.com. Don't miss the early bird special. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe to lock in the early bird deal, VSIN.com/subscribe. So, yeah, I'm with you. That's a wide-open division. We'll see how Seattle, you know, handles it with Darnold behind a new offensive line. Can he duplicate that success without O'Connell, without all the weapons he had in Minnesota? The 49ers, you know, they still have talent. It's an easier schedule, but they're starting to get pieces, you know, stripped from that team. No Debo Samuel, et cetera. So fascinating division. I think it's pretty wide open.
Also, have lost a couple of their best defensive players who've off injuries have ended up in Denver. I like the Broncos a lot, too. We'll talk about that a little bit more next week when we look at the AFC West. But right now in the NFC West, the Rams. Watch out for the Rams. Team on the rise. A lot of young studs on defense. Picked up Puna Ford to strengthen the run defense on that line. I thought that was a really good offseason pickup. And how about the offense? First of all, I love the coach, Sean McVay, and the quarterback, Matthew Stafford. The offensive line's much improved. You got the running attack with Kyren Williams and some other weapons. Puka Nacua and Davante Adams. And I still believe Davante is a top 10 receiver in the NFL or close to it. Matthew Stafford's got all the weapons around him now. And with Sean McVay, this is going to be a dangerous team. Anyway, we're going to take a break here in a minute. We're going to come back with the Madman, Chris Massaro, the Boston Strangler, Casanova Chris. He's going to be on to talk about NBA Finals Game 7 and the disappointment that is the Oklahoma City Thunder going into the seventh game. Massaro has been in a Twitter feud with JVT, who's the biggest proponent of the Thunder, has been for months. If you haven't seen the feud on Twitter, it's getting ugly. It kind of reminds me of the Paul Bovey, Chris Massaro feud during the football season. Do you recall that, Will?
I do recall that. I was kind of hoping you weren't going to bring it up because it got ugly. It got ugly to the point where it's actually upsetting to me. So I hope we can just, go to commercial and not mention anymore. It was that ugly of an incident.
It was personal. It got personal. And that was the part of it that I think turned a lot of people off. My mom even called me at one point and said, "What is wrong with Chris Massaro and Paul Bovey? Are those two ever going to talk to each other again?" I said, I don't know. Chris Massaro, when he gets mad, he holds a grudge. We'll see what he has to say about JVT and the Thunder right after the commercial break.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, Will Hill, Matt Eumann's back here. We'll give you some baseball updates here in a few minutes. We have more important issues. NBA Finals Game 7, two nights away, Sunday night in Oklahoma City. Let's go out to the Progressive guest line and dial up Chris Massaro, professional sports bettor from San Diego. As always, the Massaro spots are brought to you by Upside Gas. Chris, Sunday night, the all-time great OKC Thunder team pushed to 7 by the Pacers. Is this a surprise to you?
Matt, I'm going to have to deviate. I have to go to another town to save 10 cents on gas. So I'm not going to be able to answer that question at the moment. I'm not sure what's going to happen this game. I mean, obviously, OKC, they've been a really great team all year. Everyone knows it. But can you really trust them when it gets down to the wire? I'm just not sure. I mean, they'll just come down.
Is that his audio cracking, breaking up there? I thought that might be mine. But we got an audio issue. We'll get back to Chris here in a minute and reconnect. Will, I think it's a surprise to most people. I said it's a surprise to you, Chris, because I think he was annoyed by some handicappers on this network, analysts or handicappers, and those in the mainstream media who hyped up this OKC Thunder team as an all-time great and a team that was just going to pile drive the Pacers and win them 4 or 5 games. And that has not happened, right? That's been a surprise to most people.
Yes, and that's the beauty of betting. If you have a contrarian opinion, there's no reason to get mad or say this or that. You go bet it. You go bet your opinion and you can get nice odds. And so that's why Chris is a contrarian thinker. That's why he's such a good bettor.
We got Chris on the phone now, so we got the audio issues fixed. Go ahead, Chris, continue what you're talking about with the Thunder, who have proven to be not so dominant.
Yeah, just one of those things. It's like, I mean, hey, they probably might win the game tomorrow. They're an 8-point favorite. We've seen how they've been all year. Like, they can, they can blow teams at home. They're very good with the turnover game. But I just have a feeling if this game is close and late, and if Indiana can limit the turnovers, do you trust OKC late in the game? That's my big question. I'm not saying that, OKC doesn't have a chance to win the game. Obviously they do. They've been blowing out teams at home all year. I just don't have the confidence to definitely not lay the 8 points. And we've seen the number. It opened at 9, went to 8.5 quick, went to 8, 7.5 I saw today. So I'm just not sure how confident I am in OKC to close it out. And if it gets close and late, I think I'd rather have the Indiana Pacers guys who seem to have that, I don't know, that it factor mm-hmm. to close out games. We've seen only one time this entire playoffs where OKC was able to get the job done in a really close game. That was game four against Minnesota, probably the best game of the playoffs. I'm just not sure. I'm just not so confident. If it gets close and late, kind of favor the Pacers.
If you follow Chris Massaro on Twitter at Real Gage, he tweeted last night, the greatest team in NBA history, according to the Stat Geeks, is shooting 1-for-16 from three and hasn't scored in the first 5 minutes of the second half of a closeout game. This is one of the most pathetic losses in NBA history. Chris, you've been in a Twitter feud with Jonathan Von Tobel, JVT, here at the network, and he has hyped up this Thunder team, and I think it's pretty obvious this Thunder team's been overrated in the betting market all along.
Well, according to JVT, they're not overrated. He thinks everything's just hunky-dory. Last time I was on VSiN Primetime with you and Tim in studio, the night before I got a tweet at 4 a.m., telling me I didn't know anything about anything. The only people I care about 4 a.m. are my really good friend Teresa, who's working out people at her studio at Envy Training, and Matt Humans, who's still at Oasis. I don't want to hear about anyone tweeting me at 4 a.m. that OKC is, I don't know anything what I'm talking about. Jonathan Von Tobel, and I'm not trying to – listen, I love being on VSiN. I appreciate the fact that Will and you brought me on a couple of years ago. We've had some fun segments. But this guy has been on the network for 4 months reiterating the same fact that they're the greatest net rating team ever. So if you keep reiterating that fact, that means that you think they're one of the greatest teams ever. You have Bill Simmons saying it the other night. They might bulldoze their way to all-time greatness. You had the today I sent you the tweet today about these guys on ESPN saying greatest net rating ever. Now JVT wants to say it's semantics. It's only the greatest net rating ever. It doesn't mean it's the greatest team. Net rating, I just don't care about it. I don't care that you beat Charlotte in February by 40. When you come down to it, if you can't win a road game and you're 1-9 against the spread on the road, and the one win was the greatest, most ridiculous bad beat of all time, that means you're overrated. That's all I'm trying to say. I don't want to get in a big argument about it. I enjoy talking about sports. I enjoy talking about gambling. I'm not right about every game. No one is. But to say this team is not overrated is just one of the most befuddling things I could ever imagine. They are a very overrated team. They might win the championship on Sunday night, but I'm telling you, even if they do, they're still an overrated team based on the market and the way the lines have been and the fact that they've only covered one game on the road the entire playoffs.
Chris, the total. We know game sevens tend to go under. That being said, it seems to be accounted for in the market. Do you have any feel here for the 215 over or under?
I was texting with Julian Edlow today, and we were trying to go back as far as we could where we could get some spreads. And, yeah, it's just been so many unders. And you guys were talking about it last night, 83-79 Celtics in 2010. No one could score in the fourth quarter. There's been just so many of these totals that go so far under. The only thing that scares me is that Indiana could shoot the lights out from three. They still haven't had that one game. They had one game over 45 from three, but their marquee point is 38.2%. When they shoot 38.2% or higher, they only have one loss in the playoffs. So if I'm OKC and I'm an OKC fan, I am absolutely petrified that Indiana comes out hot from three. And maybe they do. Maybe it goes over. It seems like a pretty big overreaction with the total drop. I think in the first game of the series, we had, a 228.5, all the way down to 215. I know you got to go with the trend. It always seems to go under in game seven. But I'd be holding my breath on that in case Indiana caught fire. And another thing is OKC hasn't been shooting threes at all. Not only not making them, they're not even shooting that many. And they were – like I mentioned last night, they're 1-for-16 at one point. So I'm just not sure what's going to happen. I kind of hope it's a close game because I think if it is close and Indiana limits the turnovers, they could actually steal this finals.
Chris, I want to apologize because I don't believe I've congratulated you on the Red Sox acquiring Jordan Hicks. Have you gotten a jersey yet? Are you excited? Are you happy with the Rafael Devers trade?
So you asked me off the air what I did on for my trip. I was back. I spent Father's Day with my dad. We went to a local establishment. We watched the Red Sox and they won the game, and we're super excited. And he had mentioned to me earlier in the day that they're going to trade Devers. I go, they're not going to trade Devers. There's no way. So all of a sudden, they trade Devers, and I see what they got for him. And it was a bag of balls, two relief pitchers. It's unbelievable. Hey, but listen, they went out to Seattle. They got 2 out of 3. The Yankees are on the verge of losing again as 320 favorites. So, hey, the Red Sox are back in it. You know, we're only going to be about 4.5 games out, rolling into San Francisco tonight. If anyone saw my tweet the other night, I did a little $100 parlay, future parlay, Red Sox division with Braves division, pays 550-1. We'll see what happens.
Yankees just lost 5-3. They can't beat the Angels. They can't beat the Orioles at home. They're 8-12 against AL East opponents this season. Pretty sad week for the Yankees. Chris Massaro, pro sports bettor from Boston, lives in San Diego now, on with us. So, Chris, final 2 minutes here tonight. First of all, I hope this feud with you and JVT does not get as ugly as the Paul Bovey situation in the fall, because that was about as bad as it gets. The personal attacks and the bitterness, and hopefully you guys repaired that relationship. But going into Sunday night, Scott Foster is going to be on the officiating crew. If OKC wins this game, how do you think it's going to play out? Because I wouldn't be surprised to see a bunch of free throws for the Thunder, especially for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and the Thunder finding a way to win. I took the Pacers plus 8.5. I've got a bet on OKC to win the series at 5-1 and 7. What do you have pending, and how do you think the game's going to play out Sunday night?
So I got myself a little bit in the mud. I should have just let it ride. I had a decent-sized bet at 14-1 on Indiana the day before Tatum got injured. Mm-hmm. So that's a 14-1 bet on the Pacers to win the whole thing. Unfortunately, our close friend Doug Kazarian said, hey, it's free money for SGA to win the MVP. So after game five, I'm like, you know what? That's a pretty good hedge. So I kind of jumped on that as a hedge. I actually have a couple things where OKC wins in seven as well, but I have some other stuff along the way that Indiana wins in seven. So I'm pretty much settled up pretty good, but I wouldn't mind if Indiana won it, just to like kind of put a rest to the net rating people. It's just been too much. They keep crowning these people ahead of time before they've actually accomplished anything. The first time in the finals, and you know what? They are still a young team. Chet's only in his second year. You know, SGA's not even that long into his career.
Quick break. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate the time tonight. He's pulling for the Pacers on Sunday night.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Yeah, at one point during the football season, during the Circuit Friday Football Invitational, when Chris Massaro and Paul Bovey were feuding, and it became public, and it was getting pretty bad, Will Hill, and there was a tight race between those two in the contest. And Paul Bovey's girlfriend, who was once his fiance, they had planned to get married, and they called off the wedding. She apparently, I was told that she told Paul, if you lose to Chris in this contest, I'm gone. I'm out of here. Wow. And that's a major threat, right? So the pressure was on Bovey to beat Massaro in the contest, and Chris beat him out. And last time we had Paul Bovey on the show, let's see, we had Bovey on about a week and a half ago, and I asked him where his former fiance is now, and he said she's back in Thailand. So she left. He lost the contest to Massaro, and she did leave him, and she went back to Thailand. So it's high stakes in the Circuit Friday Football Invitational. There's a lot on the line, and that was a big-time feud between those two. Hopefully things don't escalate here between JVT and Chris. I did see on Twitter today, Chris tweeted Jonathan Von Tobel, and he said, quote, it's not my fault I live rent-free in your brain. I won the debate, and everyone knows it. Everyone. You would think you'd be better at taking the loss. You are, after all, a Clippers and Angels fan. So personal attacks there. Well, personal attacks, Chris Massaro and JVT going at it on Twitter today, and hopefully things calm down. Nobody wants to see something like that. All right, let's get some baseball updates here. And what did Rafi Devers do in his first at-bat against his former team in the Red Sox-Giants game?
I saw the Giants were leading 1-0 heading into the second. I thought, the one run, maybe it was a solo homer by Devers, but no, he grounded out. It was a walk by the Giants. He eventually came around to score. Didn't see the particulars of the inning, but the Giants score a run without the benefit of hit. So 1-0 San Francisco as we are in the second inning there. And we have been following, tracking this perfect game. Mizorowski, will he get a chance to finish it? Well, it didn't come to that because a four-pitch walk to start the seventh. And then his first career hit coming in his, 11th, 12th inning pitch here, a two-run homer. So quite the start of his career, an eventful career for Mizorowski, who loses the perfect game and then a pitch or two later loses a no-hitter. So 8-2 Milwaukee. This is a game that was 1-0 in the sixth. Both pitchers had no-hitters into the fifth. The betting lesson here, if you like the starting pitchers and you want to bet the under, more often than not, I would recommend just going first five. These games can get out of hand late with the bullpens, especially ghost runners. Stick to the first five. You're going to lose some that you wouldn't win otherwise and vice versa. I understand that, but it's just tough when you've got the right handicap. These starting pitchers pitch well, 1-0, no hitters, epic pitchers duel. You look up and there's 10 runs in the eighth inning. It can be frustrating.
Yeah, but do you think the Brewers manager is actually relieved that Mizorowski lost the perfect game, yes, so he wouldn't have to make a tough decision, right? I think he probably is, right?
I wouldn't say that, but he was motioning for the ball to go fair. He was doing the Carlton Fisk in the dugout, rooting for it to go fair. So that would be one sign that he was maybe rooting for
I didn't see that. Yeah, I didn't see that. That's interesting. I don't think I've ever seen a manager do that. So that's top of the eighth, Brewers 8-2 over the Twins. I got to repeat again, the Brewers look so cool tonight in these old-school uniforms and helmets, yes, and the Twins look so bad in these. We're told these are the City Connect jerseys for the City Connect uniforms for the Twins. Who the hell designed these? Ugly. I don't think you could get much worse. And, Will, I'm trying to think, is there any City Connect jersey that looks good? All these goofy alternative jerseys that these MLB teams wear look bad. Are there any good ones?
No, and the Red Sox ones are really bad. Chris Massaro, to bring him up again, he's a Red Sox fan. He's made the point that the Red Sox, when they break out their yellow City Connect jerseys, look like the UCLA softball team. And he's 100% right about that. I think it's a good line. But you're so right about the Brewers. I think I see these uniforms, and it's funny how you just get flashbacks. I see this uniform, and I don't know what you think. I think like Robin Yount, and back when this team was the AL Central.
Harvey's Wallbangers.
These are cool uniforms.
Do you remember that team?
Yeah.
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 That was back in the Brewers' glory days. They don't have many, but that was a great Brewers team back in the day. And, look at that Brewers logo. A lot of people don't realize that that's an M on top of a B because it looks like a baseball glove with a baseball in the middle of it. And I know people have looked at that logo for years and never realized that's an M on top of a B. Do you see it?
You learn something every day. I did not realize that. I thought it this whole time, I thought it was the ball with the glove. But now that you mention it, I do see it.
Yeah, that's one of the best logos, old school logos in baseball. Brewers up 8-2 on the Twins. That's the important part. If you bet the Brewers, you should have a winner tonight. Giants do lead the Red Sox 1-0. That's our game of the night. And the Yankees lose again. Well, this is seven losses in the last eight games. Aaron Boone, they try to sweep it under the rug. Well, it's just baseball. You're going to have peaks and valleys. This is a bad loss tonight. They had a couple bad losses to the Angels. They had a bad weekend against the Red Sox. It's starting to be more than a small sample. And I know you never want to overreact to a week or two in the baseball season. But again, this is the Yankees playing bad baseball, squandering opportunities. You talked about it early in the game tonight. Yankees had a chance to blow this game open, bases loaded, and they didn't do it.
Yeah, truth is always somewhere in between. Mm-hmm. They're probably not the team we've seen here. Remember, they slumped this time last year. They went into a nasty funk, eventually got out of it. But they were probably playing above their head a little bit. Guys like Grisham, some of these other guys, Goldschmidt turning back the clock. Truth is probably somewhere in between, but certainly not an elite team. Even when they were playing well, I think you and I, even though we were more optimistic after they lost sort of than we thought, they pivoted nicely. Neither of us thought of this as just some like 100-win juggernaut. Good team, playoff team, American League's watered down. You get in the playoffs and who knows? But I never thought of this as like a 95, 98 win team. Is that a fair characterization?
No, I didn't either. I thought the Yankees, if they could win 92 games, I thought that'd be a pretty good season. When Garrett Cole went down and we knew Stanton was not going to be in lineup at the start of the season,
right,
a lot of questions about the pitching. Max Fried's been better than we thought he was going to be, even though he was not great tonight. All in all, I think you got to be happy where the Yankees stand. But again, it's the same thing we're seeing year after year. A hot start, fade over the summer, sloppy fundamental baseball. Aaron Boone goes to the bullpen, game blows up. It feels like Groundhog Day. You're watching the same thing over and over. Tomorrow, the Yankees are going to start Clark Schmidt against Zach Eflin, and that's going to be an early start in the Bronx tomorrow. Yankees minus 165. Any thoughts on that matchup, and would you back the Yankees to bounce back on Saturday?
I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to play, but I'll tell you what I'm not going to play, and that's going to be a Yankees money line parlay with the OKC Thunder. I think I learned my lesson there. I'll stay away. Did get a nice winner here. Looks like the Gallon under outs one is going to get home. So that's one, 11-7 Arizona, Colorado. But no, I'm not going back to well with the Yankees. This idea that they're due or they're going to bust out. You know what? They can bust out on somebody else's dime. They're not playing well right now. I'm not going to try to catch the falling knife. How about you? I get the sense you're not going to be cutting in line there at Circa once this show gets over to be backing the Bronx Bombers.
No, I'm not, because baseball is a lot about momentum, and right now the Yankees don't have it. So you want to bet against those teams that are playing bad baseball. Of course, you've missed a bunch of opportunities to bet against the Yankees if you have not been doing it this week. But no, I'm not going to bet the Yankees tomorrow. Not going to lay a price on a team that's finding ways to lose games. You know, we talked about who could catch the Yankees in that division. And you and I both agreed the Rays, right? The Rays are dangerous. Rays are winning again tonight. Tigers at one point had best record in baseball and looked like the number one power-rated team in MLB. Tigers got roughed up by the Reds last weekend. Tigers right now down 11-6 to the Rays in Tampa in the bottom of the eighth inning. D-backs up on the Rockies 11-7. And again, the total in this game was 11.5. 12 popped up there at one point. As Will mentioned, 12, the highest total of the baseball season. Right now, the live total, this is great, the live total in the D-backs-Rockies game is 22.5, Will.
I don't know if it's high enough the way they're going here. I mean, what, 18? So we're not going to get five more runs here? We're only in the sixth inning? I mean, this is a beer league softball game. If anything, I'm actually tempted. We said 22.5. To me, that's an overplay. Plus, the home team's losing, so you're going to get the full complement of at-bats. I think the scoring is far from done here, and we have a listener chiming in who's at the game. Let's see. Teasers and Parlay said, good call on the under. I'm at the game tonight. Wind is blowing out along with the heat, which is extreme here in the mid-90s at first pitch with like 12-mile-an-hour winds blowing dead out to dead center field. So to me, this is an environment for runs. If anything, it would be the over. And plus, you're dealing with two crappy bullpens here. I think this is I'm actually going to play this over.
The first thing you said there, you read his tweet, you said, good call on the under. You didn't give out the under, did you?
Good call on the under outs for Gowan was the play, just with the Gowan thinking that, yeah, he wasn't going to go deep. He might get hit a little bit. He hasn't been great. So good call on the under Gowan outs from teasers and parlays. Appreciate it.
All right. ProfitX is offering the best odds all baseball season long. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states, the first of its kind in the U.S. You'll be able to make your sports bets against other groups of fans rather than against sports books. Exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today with code VSEN. Earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. On the West Coast right now, the Royals lead the Padres 1-0, middle of the fourth. Padres have only one hit, maybe a flat spot after that big emotional series against the Dodgers. Nationals lead the Dodgers 1-0, top of the third in L.A. Giants have added a run. They lead the Red Sox now 2-0. And also the A's lead the Guardians. Home underdog A's up 3-0 on the Guardians.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, if you haven't heard, there is an NBA Game 7 on Sunday night. Will Hill, Matt Youmans here to wrap it up on VSiN Primetime, the end of our four-hour show tonight. Will, it's great that we're going to have a seventh game in the NBA Finals for the first time since 2016. The trends aren't kind to the road team in this sort of situation, but I'm not going to say that really matters that much. Even though NBA home teams in Game 7s overall win about 85% of the time, I think that Pacers are backed up against it. They know it, but they thrive in the underdog role, Will, and they've been able to win big games on the road throughout the playoffs. They won games in Milwaukee, in Cleveland, in New York, in Oklahoma City. I don't think the Pacers are going to go to OKC and crumble under the pressure of a Game 7. What about you?
Neither do I. And if OKC, if you're tied 4 or 5 minutes to go, I think you're in a lot of trouble. You better land a knockout punch, because this team is a cockroach. They don't die. They keep coming back and keep coming back, and they are just a relentless, really well-coached, gutty basketball team, and I don't think you can oversell what it would mean. I know we're betting show, and it doesn't really matter the narrative and stuff. For the Pacers to win this championship, it would be about as unlikely as any sports team in my lifetime and any of the four major sports winning a championship. 85-1 just 6 weeks ago. I mean, even if you like the Pacers, maybe they can get to a conference finals or be feisty. They're sitting here one win away from winning the title. It's shocking. They've had some incredible comeback wins. I ultimately think they'll fall a little bit short here. I just think OKC's been so good at home. They led game one at home by 15 at one point before blowing that. They led game two by 23, and they led game five by 18. They've had some dominant performances at home, so they're going to need one here because, again, if it's close late, look out. I thought they were really out-hustled in game six. They played like a team that had a house money game here to play with, that had one in pocket here, because Indiana was just, to me, the hungrier team, the more desperate team, and that's why the zigzag theory, to me, is so effective, because you can't fake desperation. Indiana was going home with a loss, and they played like it. They won the turnovers, mm-hmm. the loose balls, offensive rebounds. They pushed the pace, and OKC looked like they had a team that was just, you know what, we'll get them in game seven. Very lethargic effort from the Thunder. So I think OKC wins. I think the 7.5 is honestly a little bit cheap, but this team has certainly gained my respect. How could they not, this Pacer team? So I have a very hard time betting with a lot of confidence against the Pacers, even though I think you're getting a discount here on the 7.5.
Kind of follow up on our discussion with Chris Massaro this hour. I feel like that pretty much all bettors have had an increase in respect for the Pacers throughout this series, and have less respect for the Thunder. Is that fair? Because I think you've got to drop the Thunder rating or the Thunder's respect a little bit, just based on how they've been overrated in the betting market.
OKC might very well be holding up the trophy Sunday night, but they were not the buzzsaw they were made out to be. Right. They are a little bit of a front runner. They're flawed. They're flawed on offense. Holmgren hasn't given you much of anything. Williams is a really good player, but he can come and go. The fears that people like you had and people like Chris Massaro had are fair, and they've been confirmed. They look too young at times. They don't have a second star at times. They certainly don't have a third star at times. Holmgren, like I said, has been a non-factor. And even if they're winning this game Sunday night and they're a champion and nobody will remember, you know, style points don't matter. That banner is going to go up there and they're going to be the champs. This was not a buzzsaw. They played a game seven against Denver. They played a game seven against the Pacers. Despite the net ratings, it's hard to say that this is some historic team, even though they were, 68-14 in the regular season. They have not matched that domination here in the playoffs. Far from it.
Yeah, and the regular season in the NBA now does not mean what it used to mean. Yeah. Well, let's face the facts here. This is not the same. Chris tweeted, quote, by far the most overrated team in NBA history. That's what he said about the OKC Thunder. Nate Duncan, NBA on Twitter, put this fact out there. How about this, Will? Teams down 3-2 that won game six of the NBA Finals. That applies to the Pacers in the last 20 years. The 2016 Cavs, they went on to win Game 7. 2013 Heat went on to win Game 7. 2010 Lakers also went on to win Game 7. The Pacers in that same situation here on Sunday night. The previous three teams to win Game 6, down 3-2, went on to win Game 7. I'm not going to count the Pacers out Sunday night, obviously. But it's interesting today, the market moved from OKC minus 8.5 to 7.5. I saw David Purdom of ESPN report that Chris Andrews, South Point Sportsbook Director, said he moved to OKC minus 7. He was getting sharp money on the Pacers. When he dropped to 7, he finally got some buyback on OKC. So that was the threshold there. Pacers money coming in until it went to OKC 7. Then he started to get some Thunder money. And that number sitting at 7.5 in the market. Right now, almost one more point I wanted to make about trends as we get to the NBA Finals Game 7 here. Chad Andrus, Denver radio host, who's been a guest on our show several times, tweeted, the road team has won an NBA Finals Game 7 only twice in the last 50 years. Now, there are a bunch of replies to that, including Chris, who pointed out that I think in the last 50 years, there's only been a few instances. Actually, I can't find the number. I just lost it. Only two times, Will, only two times has the Has there been a road team that won game seven? Yeah, the road team's only won game seven twice, but it's only had six opportunities, I believe, something like that.
Yeah.
Two out of six. So it's not like there's been a bunch of chances for a road team to win a game seven, but the road team has won twice.
I think it's 2-6.
2-6.
I think it's 2-6, but again, you'll see different numbers, and I was looking into why I keep seeing different numbers. Some of it is before and after the merger, which I think is 1976. There were a couple before that where the Celtics won a couple on the road, but since 1976, I think in 78, the Bullets and the Sonics, the road team won. I can't remember which team won. I think it was the Sonics won game seven in 78 on the road, and then, of course, in 2016, the Cavs won on the road, but there's only been eight opportunities, so 2-6, it's something, but when you think about it, the road team's at two disadvantages. First off, they're on the road, which is harder. And the home team, the reason they're home is because they had a better record. So it's not surprising that the home teams have done well. You got two advantages if you're the home team. Better record, probably better team. Plus, you're playing with the home court. But, hey, man, 68-14 in the regular season, net rating, game seven history, all this stuff favors the home team. You know what? It's a one-game series. It's a one-game season. You shoot poorly or Indiana comes out and shoots 45% from three, they're going to be holding up the trophy. So, you play with your food. What's the saying? You mess around and you find out OKC has put themselves in a position where they are one bad game away. And let's face it, this would be not a bad loss. This would be a catastrophe for them. Minus 700 series favorites, up 3-2. They blew game one. This would be a disaster if they ever lost the series.
If you're minus 700 and you lose the series, yeah. But there'll be a lot of people say, well, they're young. OKC's got a bunch of number one draft picks coming up. They'll be back. I tell you, I think the Pacers are live Sunday night. I feel it more than I did when you watched it last night and the adjustments that Rick Carlisle made and the confidence the Pacers are playing with, and you see that immaturity on the side of the Thunder. I think the Pacers got a good shot. I've got Pacers plus 8.5 in the bank for Sunday night. We'll see. I've also got OKC in 7 at 5-1, so pretty good situation there. I'm going to say OKC wins a tight game. I'm going to say it goes to the wire and OKC wins it. Anyway, before we get your prediction, Will, got to tell you about the $500 trifecta from GBank First Bet and VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 of First Bet. To trigger the $500 trifecta, you receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and VSiN gives you a pro subscription through October 31st. A $200 value. That's the $500 try from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. VSiN.com/GBank. That's where you want to go. VSIN.com/GBank. And again, it's a one-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. So when you say the road team has won only twice in a game seven in the NBA Finals in the last 50 years, that sounds bad. But, Will, there have not been that many opportunities for a road team to win Game 7 in the Finals. This is the first Game 7 in the Finals in almost 10 years. How do you think it's going to play out Sunday night when we're talking about this next week? What are we going to be talking about as the result of Game 7?
A close game for a while, and OKC pulls away late, covers late, and it's going to be nervous. It's not going to be easy. But I think OKC and their home domination continue. And eventually they pull away and do cover the number. But I'm looking forward to it. I mean, look, you could talk about the NBA. The ratings aren't great. NBA is a product. And the regular season is not great sometimes. Throw all that stuff out the window, too. This is Game 7 NBA Finals. This is great drama. This is great sports. If you're a sports fan, I don't know how you don't sit there Sunday night, 8 o'clock, just counting down the minute till this game starts. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't remember the last time I was this excited for a game.
Oh, I love Game 7s. Everybody does. The Knicks-Pacers series was great. I thought the Thunder-Nuggets series was great. This one is, too. And we're going to get a Game 7 on Sunday night, and we'll be back Monday to talk about it. Thanks to Aaron Moore, the professor, Super Dave Ross, Sam Chowdhury, and Chris Massaro, and Will Hill. That wraps up VSiN Primetime. Stay tuned to the Sports Betting Network.